Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I'm your host, Andy. We've got everybody in the studio tonight. Nick Scott, Kelly Bryan, Pro-Am over here in the closet. Pro-Am, start us off.
How's everybody else doing tonight?
I'm feeling great. It's my episode tonight. I wrote this yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I'm pretty excited for it.
Way to put in the effort, Andy.
Yeah, you know, nothing like a good old procrastination to get the blood pumping.
You know me. If there's a pill that was a cure for procrastination, I'd still take it tomorrow.
I've not heard that dad joke. That's fantastic. Solid.
That's good one. Awesome.
Nicholas.
Hi.
Hey, bud.
Hey.
You got me. How do you come up with your trivia, out of curiosity?
It's usually not like something I'm trying to do. Something sparks an interest.
Oh.
I hear something. I see something. I make a note of it, and that's how it happens.
Does it like automatically link to, oh, that'd be a good trivia?
Yeah, okay. Basically, yeah. Yes. Like maybe I'm watching a movie or I'm listening to the radio and something is said and it's like, that gives me an idea.
Do you think of how you want the questions to go and then let the answers kind of fall as they do? Or do you work backwards? I'm curious.
It evolves. Okay. It starts with something and I see if I can develop it off of that concept.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense for your, you know, fictional sports franchises, mm-hmm. for example. You're thinking of individual things and yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to skip over Scott because nobody cares. Kelly.
So true.
Yes, sir.
I thought of this question on the way to the studio tonight, and I had to think about who was the best to ask this question to.
Oh, I'm scared.
And you were the winner.
Have you ever made love to a man?
Well, okay, that's reasonable.
Quick no.
Okay. I take you for a guy who, when you're by yourself, you really get into the car karaoke. Like you're putting on an American Idol performance.
Occasionally.
Who brings it out in you? Who do you like to sing along with the most?
Me.
Dr. Scott.
That's happened a couple of times.
It has.
There are several, I would say. I can go pretty much any Motown.
Okay.
Michael Jackson brings it out of me.
Nice.
Because I guarantee you, just when I'm there by myself, it sounds amazing, but there's something about if somebody else is around, it's kind of like that, the explanation of physics about how photons move. If you're not looking, they do something different. Right. If you look, that's my singing voice.
Okay. So when people aren't listening, you are the songbird of your generation.
Correct.
And
correct.
As soon as someone's ears get within shot, it all goes.
But I have some hits, Commodores, you know, just go down some tracks.
Is there a particular artist that you feel like you actually sound reasonably close to?
Yes.
Not
a lot of
not in talent. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. You're always tricking yourself into thinking it, right?
Yeah.
Even females half the time.
I'm sure I have I carry a certain tune when I sing, but I don't know, like certain note or chord, but I don't know what that
is. I was crushing some Bruno Mars on the way here. I mean, really putting a concert on. And that question came to me because I find myself really getting into Bruno when he's getting after it.
Okay. Yes. I got to throw in on that one.
Yeah, bring it, B.
So I remember years ago, probably like a decade ago, Justin Love. I was like, you've never seen anything until you see me on the interstate, you know, middle-aged, white, bald man singing Whitney Houston.
Yes!
And he's like, I love it. He's like, but hey, that's your safe space. The car.
That is. That's
and I
right.
love that. He's like,
it's your own bubble.
Do you. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. All right. That is the crew. Like I mentioned, we got a trivia coming up for us. I'm going to go ahead and drop this topic to the boys right now because I think it'll get them a little excited.
Mm.
We're doing one-hit wonders tonight, gentlemen.
Wow.
One-hit wonders. And it is across a period of decades. So it is not. Right. We're not leaning into Doctor over here with these 70s and 80s per se.
I like it.
But so and we'll
decades
we'll,
like... Is there a range?
Basically from 1970 to 2019.
Okay.
Everything is in play.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And, we're going to go over the definition of one-hit wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Counselor over there in the corner. We're not hearing any arguments out of this, okay? We're all just going to use common sense on this one, but we'll get to a few parameters.
I'll be the judge of it.
fight.
All right.
Fight.
And in addition to hosting... Pro-Am, I'm going to actually skirt your question of the week because we've got...
No.
Brain bomb.
bombs coming your way, baby. Now, these are all USA-based brain bombs because we have released, by the time you're listening to this, there'll be a bunch of them out there. We're releasing a summer series doing all the states individually. They're mini snack size episodes. Get out there and listen to your favorite region of the country. They are released in batches. And assuming this releases when we expect it to, you should be in the 40s by now.
Yeah, so. All 50. There's 50 states.
Oh. You're correct. I might have to go back and do some. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah, check those out. So let's get to the brain bombs as we've written them. Number one. This surprised me. The United States Constitution is the world's longest surviving written national constitution.
Surviving in that it's still in effect?
Yes.
Okay.
Continuous.
Not the document itself.
Right.
So okay.
Roughly 250 years.
Yeah, we're in the ballpark. Actually, it's shockingly much later than that.
Are there other constitutions? Or is it?
Yes, Nick.
What?
We've had countries
for a very long time, but this is...
That's why I found it surprising. We are a relatively baby nation
exactly.
in comparison to most of the world. Mm-hmm. So for our Constitution to be have stood the test of time, it does raise the question that do we need to look at it? Do all these other countries know what's going on? Maybe it needs a tweak or two. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, seems to be standing up on its own. It was written in 1787. It was ratified in 1788. And in operation since 1789, the Constitution is described by the U.S. Senate as the world's longest surviving. Let's try that all again. The U.S. Senate described it as the world's longest surviving written charter of government. We the people.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow. I thought so. All right. Brain bomb landed.
Yeah, pretty good.
Number two, the Library of Congress is officially the largest library in the world, which I think we all pretty much had a good handle on. But here's a couple of stats that actually are the bombs of the brain there. According to the Library of Congress, it receives about 15,000 items every working day.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's incredible.
And adds more than 10,000 of them to its collection.
Good Lord.
How is that much new stuff being put out? That's staggering.
I write a lot.
Every day.
I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around that.
I agree.
Right now.
That's incredible.
15,000 a day.
Well, and I don't think it's all housed in the same location either.
Okay. Tell me more, Mr. DC.
Well, I think like there's a library right across the street from the Library of Congress. I believe it's still considered a part of it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm curious as to where these books or documents are going.
Well, that's part of it, right? Obviously, there's periodicals.
Right. Yeah.
Digital.
Right.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. And it does go underground from at least what the movies illustrate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I have not been to this building yet.
Yeah. When we visited the library, we went to a different DC monument via the underground.
Gotcha.
Tunnels or hallways, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure there wasn't a national treasure.
Did you try to steal the Constitution?
No, I kidnapped the president.
That's right. All right. Brain bomb number three. The United States interstate system is long enough to almost circle Earth twice.
Oh.
That's surprising to me.
That is quite an intricate system. And I would love to know. There's somebody has to have made a useless attempt at covering every single mile of interstate.
Oh, guaranteed.
Right? I should have looked that.
So it's just interstate? So the interstate system.
It is the interstate system, okay. Which...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Yes. So, yeah. And do you guys know how the system works?
Odd numbers go north and south.
Yep.
Even numbers go east and west. And three numbers are bypass a major metropolitan area.
That's right. Interstate 10 rides along the southern edge. 20, 30, 40, 50.
When you go within 20 miles of a metropolitan area, the speed limit decreases at least by 10.
Yeah. Is that a standard rule? I mean, obviously, we've all noticed that when we approach a metropolitan area.
If that's
Kelly loves roadways.
He's a road trip king, man.
437 toothpicks.
It has been attempted and completed by multiple people.
Oh, well.
Of course it has.
Google Maps, probably one of them.
Is Kelly one of them? Did Kelly do it? pretty sure there's a book about him, though.
Oh, shoot. Rand McNally.
One of the many.
Yeah, that's right. According to the Federal Highway Administration, the interstate system is 46,876 miles long. Earth's equator circumference is about 24,901 miles. And so according to Caltech, it almost wraps around the planet twice. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool stuff.
Go. That's cool.
America! Nice. Okay, go check out the summer series, guys. We had a lot of fun doing it. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, I guess it's trivia, and I don't have anybody to throw it to. Pro-Am, you got anything for us over there?
We got a cheers beer.
Okay. Oh, we got to do that after, though, don't we? Okay, very good. Well, we got one-hit wonders. Let's talk about the rules here a little bit. We're using common sense, okay? Now, we're primarily focusing on the United States audience. So we may have an artist or a band that did have another major hit overseas. We're not worried about what, you know, Croatia's top 20 were. We are focused on the United States charts. We love you, Croatia. Please, you know, keep it going.
Keep producing one-hit wonders.
So, some of these artists have had other songs. Oftentimes, when they have a one-hit wonder, their follow-up does fairly well until they realize that that was their only hit. Scotty covered this during the discos, which we might actually go just rename one-hit wonders one and tack to disco because that was essentially the same idea. And tonight's questions will cover songs from the 1970s through the 2010s or teens. Each question will ask for either the artist or the song title. Okay, and I'll tell you which one we're wanting. It'll be obvious. And there might be a few bonus points along the way.
Okay.
I got to use that drop, baby. Questions and predictions.
Scott.
Scott.
You feel confident?
No questions.
Yeah, it's music. Scott with Brian not too far behind as far as
I agree.
Yeah. I would say Scott. Depends how heavy it leans on air though, because he's valid. Said before, like in the tens.
We get in the tens. He might be
shaky, but I would still pick Scott. Yes,
agreed. I agree. But almost had a Challenge the Doctor episode planned where the three of you got other would work together.
Oh,
really considered that, but I think there's a shot that somebody takes him down.
That's why you played the game.
That's exactly right. Let's do it. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on One Hit Wonders, and I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'll read the questions. The boys will write the answer on their whiteboard. When I say reveal, they must show their answer. And if they get it right, Nick's going to give them a point.
Yes, sir.
And if they get it wrong, well, that is when the real fun begins. So let's see who ends up on top today. Before we get to question number one, who do we got to thank for our round tonight? Cheers, beers.
Tonight's donor is Jet Merriweather. Thank you, Jet.
Nice.
Jet. That's a great name.
Yes.
Great name. Jet.
If you would like to support the show,
head on over to the show notes and click on the link.
You bet.
Thank you. Cheers.
Got another commotion. We love you, Shreveport.
Real quick, before we get started, if you want early episodes, ad-free listening, and a way to support the show, come join us on Patreon. We appreciate every one of you who plays along.
All right, settle in. Question number one, we are going to name the song title. In 1972... Looking Glass scored big with a seaside story about a harbor waitress, a sailor, and a man who just could not stop chasing the ocean. Name that song. Kelly is done.
I've seen through this Looking Glass.
Oh, well done. Let's go again.
Repeat it.
The year is 1972. Looking Glass is the band. They scored big with a seaside story about a harbor waitress, a sailor, and a man who just could not stop choosing the sea. Name that song. You got an answer, Doc?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I started to write a very full answer,
okay,
but I shortened it.
That's probably wise.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's some audio.
We'll sing it after.
I have to tell you, I did a really deep dive of how we can get around YouTube's rules, and there just is no way to do it. So,
buying, paying rights.
Yeah. All right.
I'm abstaining.
All right, that is it. Looking Glass, 1972. What's the hit? Let's see the answer. We've got Sail Away from Nick, Brandy from Scott, and from Kelly. Brian did abstain. Brandy, you're a fine girl.
What a good wife so, you would be.
Beautiful.
This crossed my mind life, because that song was mentioned in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's right.
And but I could not think of the name.
I never would have got that.
I could not think of the name.
I've heard it, but yeah, no way.
So I thought maybe You're a Fine Girl is in parentheses.
It is indeed.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. That is the official title. It is Brandy with a parenthetical You're a Fine Girl.
Okay.
That's right. And the song helped make Brandy explode as a baby name in the United States. It jumped from 353rd most popular girl's name in 71 all the way to 82 in 1973. Mm. Not a big surprise there, but still kind of cool of a nod there. Love that song, too. Mm. All right, moving on to question number two. We're going to ask for the band this time, or the record, you know, band, artist, you know, it's all going to be the same. 1976 is the year. Play That Funky Music turned a dance floor demand into a number one hit. Who recorded it? Play That Funky Music. All right, Kelly, Scotty.
Could be wrong, but I feel like you're just going to move through the decades.
Oh, you think, huh?
That's what it feels like.
Interesting.
Okay.
We'll just have to wait and see how that goes. You might have wanted to keep that little nugget to yourself because it might play to your advantage to pick up on that little pattern.
Okay.
So now that it's out there.
Okay.
All right, 1976, Play That Funky Music turned a dance floor demand into a number one hit. Who recorded it? Let's see the answers. We've got Johns Hopkins Trio from Nick, Wild Cherry from Scotty, Casey and the Sunshine Band from Kelly, Sly and the Family Stone from Brian. Music Man takes it. It is, in fact, Wild Cherry.
Wow.
You betcha.
Dang. You might have known.
That's a tough one.
Should have known that. It's one of my mom's favorite songs.
Is it really?
She's Rolling Over.
I feel like you went to the board pretty quick. Did you just have it wrong, or did you just run with your first instinct, Kelly?
I just had it wrong. I knew after.
Definitely the right era.
Yeah.
Disco, yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, the band leaned more rock first, and then disco took over, so they adapted. The song was reportedly inspired after a club patron asked a band if they were going to play some funky music. Rob Parisi then wrote it on the order pad in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes he wrote that song.
I'm thinking of the Starsky and Hutch scene where that. They're having the dance off. Oh, that's a great scene.
Is this the song that's on?
No.
No. You know what I'm talking about?
It's actually not relevant to this question at all.
Oh, that's
well, disco.
Totally on brand for Brian.
Oswald, you know what I'm talking about. I love that. It's a great disco.
That's squirrel.
That's right. All right, moving on to question number three.
Thanks, you guys.
We're going to name the song title again this time. All right. In 1976... Starland Vocal Band hit number one with a sunny little tune full of skyrocket innuendos that sound innocent until your adult brain ruins it.
You wanted the band?
I would like the title of the song.
Okay, thank you.
1976 is the year. Starland Vocal Band hit number one with a sunny little tune full of skyrocket innuendo that sounds innocent until your adult brain ruins it. I'll tell a story when we get to the answer. Is everybody ready on this one? All right, let's go ahead and reveal the answer. Sure enough, we've got Afternoon Delight all the way around the room, and that is the correct answer. There's a few songs out there that when you know what they mean, obviously it changes the whole lens at which you hear the hear it through, but you hear him played at like middle school sporting games, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Dancing in the Moonlight, for example.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And clearly not thinking that part through.
You can put in your birth date on somewhere, obviously on the interwebs, and it'll tell you what the number one song was. So for me, this was
the
number one song when I was born.
That's what your parents were listening to.
I've done it, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I know.
I'm done with that.
That's very cool. And one of the funniest scenes, or not funniest probably, but one of the funnest scenes in Anchorman.
Very memorable.
Yeah. Especially when you know, and I don't know if you guys know this, but that was completely added like in the last 5 minutes before that scene was filmed. They were just messing around. Those four were messing around with that song.
Pew!
And they came in and were like, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And so they had to learn it right there on the spot. Very cool. Well, it sounds like picnic music. It is not picnic music. The song got a second comedy life in Anchorman, Arrested Development, The Simpsons, Glee, and even Good Will Hunting. That is a bizarre resume for a song that sounds like it was written by a church picnic committee. Maybe had a few secrets along the way. All right. That is number three. We are moving on. Question number four. We're going to name the band this time. Which British group released Come On Eileen, complete with fiddles, overalls, and enough Celtic pop energy to make a wedding reception dangerous? We want the name of the band that released Come On Eileen.
It can also be a great Halloween costume.
Okay, wow.
I've seen that before. We'll cut that out.
I've never heard that before.
I've seen pictures of like waitress.
Yeah, I get the visual of it all.
Let me show you pictures.
That is so funny.
It's an instructional song, really.
Right.
Name the artist.
There we go. Name the artist. Which British group released Come On Eileen, complete with fiddles, overalls, and enough Celtic pop energy to make a wedding reception dangerous? Nick is really chewing on it. Think you're going to get there?
This is a great band here.
Yeah.
Celtic pop or Celtic pop?
Yeah, Celtic is probably the right way to pronounce that. Good call.
What's the determining factor of why you say Celtic as opposed to Celtic?
I don't know. It's spelled the same way.
Right. Location?
Boston versus New Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah.
All right, Nick, you going to get there? All right, who released Come On Eileen? Let's see the boards. We've got Men at Work from Nick, Texas Midnight Runners from the rest of the boys. That is the correct answer.
Hey.
Bonus point!
But wait, there's more. Go ahead and erase those answers. Give me the year it was released.
Oh, come on.
Eileen.
Did you just say it in the question?
I did not. Come on, Eileen. What year did it hit the radio waves?
I feel good that I have within a year, but I don't know that I have.
Can we get a plus or minus one?
But I'm not,
Nope. Not for the bonus point. I considered it, but being a bonus point, I figured it shouldn't.
Scott, look at me.
All right.
Okay.
You got it?
I think
Let's see it. 83 from Brian, 82 from Kelly, 83 from
Shizakoff,
from Doc, and 83 from Nick. It's 1982.
Oh, nice, Kelly.
I feel like Scott. I was like, I'm within a year.
That's
think.
Great. Yeah. You guys are all right there, man.
I knew it was 82 or 83, but did not know for sure.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Well, where was I there? Oh, there it is. This song is basically what happens when a pub, a folk festival, and a marching band all crash into each other and somehow produce a masterpiece. In the UK, this was not their only major success. They had actually already hit number one there with Gino. But in America, this was the one that stuck.
Do you know Gino, Scott?
I do not.
Okay, me neither.
No. Really?
Cool. Nice. I'm surprised by that, actually. All right, let's move on to question number five. In 1995, Deep Blue Something had its lone major hit with a song built around two people clinging to one shared Opry Hepburn experience. Name that song.
Can you ask that again?
What year?
1995 is the year. Deep Blue Something is the band. It had a major lone hit with a song built around two people clinging to a single Audrey Hepburn experience.
I don't appreciate all the hints.
Yeah, I've felt that before. I couldn't let you run away with the doc.
I don't know that I will.
I know. That's a good point. All right. Brian is finishing up. Kelly's still chewing. doesn't like it. He's wincing.
I don't.
The year doesn't feel right for what I wrote. I don't know.
1995 is the year. Deep Blue Something is the band. Give me the song. Let's say it. We got Breakfast at Tiffany's from Brian, C from Kelly, Breakfast at Tiffany from Scott and Nick. And yes, that is the correct answer.
I didn't feel like that's 1995. I didn't that realize feel it was early? That old. Yeah, I didn't think it was that old.
Oh, that checks out to me.
Hmm. Yeah. It's that poppy, rocky kind of era there in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Matchbox 20.
There's a lot of bands that, you know, to me, sounded a lot like them, which makes it tricky, though, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I think I have a... I don't know if my score is correct. I don't think I had 4 out of 4.
No, you got a bonus.
Bonus point.
Never mind.
take one off.
Love the integrity of it, though.
Way to be honest.
That's right. All right. Well, radio stations, it's a little fun fact, actually, because radio stations apparently kept booking the band for morning appearances because the title included the word breakfast. Wow. I thought that was brilliant.
Makes sense.
That's interesting. So there you go.
People are smart.
Yeah, well, or lucky, one of the two, I guess. All right, that is 5. Let's go ahead and listen to the sponsors, and then we'll get a score update.
All right, so after 5, from worst to first, I'm in last. I have 2. B, you have 3. Kelly with 4. Not a shocker. Scott has 5.
Hey. We are trending away from Doctor's Wheelhouse here a little bit, so you never know.
Gonna get interesting.
It is wide open.
All right.
Question number 6. Chumbawamba gave the world a pub-ready anthem about getting knocked down and getting back up again. And then you get knocked down, and then you get back up again. And apparently never learning to sit quietly with your feelings. Name the song. It's the song title we're after. Chumbawamba.
Scott's got it.
Scott's got it.
Did you give a year on this one?
I know. Not.
Okay.
Could be a bonus.
Oh, never know.
Because I know it. You?
Chumbawamba gave the world a pub-ready anthem about getting knocked down and getting back up again, never quite learning their lesson.
I'll say I'll know it within a year.
Yeah.
Now you're changing your tune.
All right. Confidence is fading. Brian, you got a name down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody else, let's see it. Chumbawamba's song title, Tub Thumping from Everybody is the correct answer.
Bonus point.
Name the year it was released.
Need to think about that period of my life and what year that was.
That's a good point, actually. You can start to put context to it, can't you?
Yeah, for sure.
Name the year Chumbawamba's thumping really hit the airwaves.
I'm going to change it. Son of a...
Yeah, I'm not 100% of that.
Okay.
I wrote down a year. I have no idea.
No clue at all?
No. Like, I'm trying to relate it to something and nothing's clicking for me.
Scotty, give me a percentage.
Well, this is kind of weird because I don't feel like I'm within a year. Oh. The 2 years I have in my mind are 2 years apart.
Okay. That's
random.
Intriguing.
I have 2 years in my head and they're not.
Right. Let's see the board. Everybody's ready to go. Nick has 2001. We got 97 from Scott, 98 from Kelly, 96 for Brian. It's 1997 is the right answer.
That's what I had done first.
Scott, you got that?
Yeah.
That was the other year I was thinking about it.
Okay. I thought 90, I was thinking 97 or 99.
Okay. That most songs like that either are, to me, I find, either annoying out of the gate and then they kind of lean into them a little bit as they gain popularity, or vice versa. They're so popular, you like it, and then you lose. I never connected with this song.
I just got overplayed. It's just one of those things that got overplayed. My wife, it wasn't my wife at the time, but she liked the song, but then she figured out what the lyrics were and then she didn't like it anymore.
Okay.
She thought they were kissing the night away.
Ah.
That's not what they were doing. That's not what they were doing.
What were they doing, Scott?
They were using the restroom the night away.
Well said. Well, this is one of those songs where everyone knows the chorus and confidently mumbles the rest like a passing a field sobriety test. The song was inspired by the resilience of ordinary people with a Leeds pub serving as part of the inspiration. English people.
Hmm. I also think the band at the time encouraged people to go out and steal this CD.
Hmm.
Like they were kind of
anti-establishment.
Yeah. And they said, go out and steal our CD. Don't buy it. Yeah.
Well, 97's a little bit shy of like a Napster LimeWire, but it not that much shy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right there in that early torrent type
Thanks
arena.
For the record, John Wambler.
Right? How are the other tracks on that album?
Yeah, good. Well, they're on the one-hit wonder list, yeah, so that tells you what you need to know. All right, number seven, we're going to name the artist. Now, I need specific on this. 1999 is the year. Mambo number five. The song name dropped Monica, Erica, Rita, Tina, Sandra, Mary, Jessica into one wildly catchy dance hit.
Kelly was quick on that.
Mambo number five.
Wait, what?
You were quick on the
board. Mambo number five.
Mambo number five.
Song. 1999 is the year. Who is the artist?
Hmm. I don't know how specific. Artist name. I mean,
it is a name. Yeah. It is a first and a last name. I'll give you that. Okay. I don't want that to be confusing for you.
I don't think I'm going to get there.
Okay. Brian and Nick are chewing on it pretty hard here. You got an answer down, Scotty?
I got a name down. I don't feel like it's a gimme.
Yeah. Gotcha. Pro-Am, you got anything on this one?
No.
No, we're past your era, aren't we?
It's a gimme. Give me a point.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to read it one more time. 1999. Mambo number five name dropped. Monica, Erica, Rita, Tina, Sandra, Mary, and Jessica into one catchy dance hit.
I know the song, but
those names weren't Nicholas. Those names weren't from the country
two,
he was from.
One. Let's see the boards. We've got Lou Vega and Lou Vega. This is Scott and this is Kelly. I have to say those are incorrect.
Is it Lou Vega?
It is with a B as in boy, Lou Vega.
It's interesting that we both wrote the same name, though.
Yeah. That is
interesting. Well, I think it's like a pronunciation.
I went to like three different reputable sites because I also thought it was Vega. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah. Not
you should just give us the point. It doesn't matter.
You're collectively wrong as a trio.
Is it spelled with a B or just pronounced?
Louvega.
Yeah. Okay.
I think every time I've heard it pronounced, it might be a language thing. You know, in Spanish, you pronounce your Y sometimes with an L. Or,
sure.
You know,
I'm with you.
Do they do B's and V's in Spain? I don't think that's a thing, you know.
Either way.
Okay.
Got it wrong. Either way, got it wrong.
Yeah, either way.
All right. Well, it's less of a song and more of a musical roll call. Lou Vega's version was based on an older Perez Prado instrumental, turning a 1940s mambo into a 1999 global earworm. So it was taken from an instrumental.
Okay. Not from the first four, though.
From the first four of what?
Mambos.
Number five.
Number five.
Okay. Woo, right over my head.
Yeah. You wrote the question.
Wow. Okay. Question number eight. Which band recorded Stacy's Mom, the power pop hit about a teenage crush that absolutely should have stayed inside of someone's head? Stacy's Mom has got it going on.
Oh. Nice video.
Yeah.
Do you know it's got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I.
You will too.
When you hear it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's just the fact of it. That's right. Which band recorded Stacy's Mom, the power pop hit about a teenage crush that absolutely should have stayed in their heads?
Like I have so many band names. I'm like, yeah, that's right era. Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I might have one word right. But
okay. Well,
was there more than one word?
You can guess Andy? So other words.
Andy.
Just put a band name down. If there's more words to it, then fine.
You know, we don't use the word flabbergasted a lot, but Nick has just been flabbergasted all night. I'm just shaking his head over
it. Really?
So bad at this.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, which band recorded Stacy's Mom? Anybody else going to write anything else?
Read my answer first.
That one word.
All right. Kelly's going to give it to us first. We got Scotty Doesn't Know. We've got Fountains of Wayne from Scott, Offspring from Nick. That's a good guess. And Wayne from Brian. You were right. You had one word right.
It's Fountains of Wayne.
Fountains of Wayne.
As soon as I saw that.
Is the correct answer.
There's a Wayne in there.
For one final time.
Bonus point.
Name that year, baby.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Stacy.
Name the year Stacy's Mom hit the airwaves from Fountains of Wayne. Yep. Lots of wincing and shoulders shrugging.
I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad.
I'm with you, Nick. That's why I wrote this, because I would be terrible at this.
So bad at this.
Terrible at it.
Oh, yeah,
I can sing all these songs. Mm-hmm. Just don't know any of the details about them.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, all like right. I know that song very well. Fountains of Wayne never would have popped in my head.
Sure, no. But you'd heard of it.
Yeah,
I assume.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right, Brian's changing his answer at the last second here. Let's go ahead and see those boards. We got 04 from Nick, 01 from Scott. What does that say there, Kelly? 5. And we've got 04 from Brian. We danced all over this thing. It's 2003.
Oh.
No bonus points. And I can say the final two are worth only 1 point each. Mm. So let's see a score update. Is anybody still running in this match?
Scotty's going to run away with
Scott's it. Scott's got it now. So yeah. I only have 3. Brian has 4. Kelly has 5. Doc has 8.
8.
With 2 left, so.
All right. Yeah. All right. I could just omit the year and give you guys more bonus points to try and get after it. No, we'll do it as it's intended.
Yeah.
Question number 9. We're going to name the song. It's 2005. Daniel Powder released this piano pop hit that later became the unofficial music escort for disappointed American Idol contestants getting sent home. Name that song. That's a big clue.
Mm-hmm.
If you were an American Idol fan, I guess, at all.
No.
Yeah. Pro-Am, you ever do American Idol?
In the beginning.
Yeah. Will you read that one more time?
I guess. 2005 is the year. Daniel Powder, P-O-W-T-E-R, released this piano pop hit that later became the unofficial musical escort for disappointed American Idol contestants getting sent home. Does that help you, Brian?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Kelly's shaking his head.
They rejected my tape, and I never watched the show again.
What? They kicked you out? Man.
Wait, were you singing in your car, or were you singing around people?
Yeah, were their ears huge within difference. Shot, right?
There's a lot of dance moves.
All right. 2005, Daniel Powder released this piano pop hit. It later became the unofficial musical escort for disappointed American Idol contestants getting sent home. Let's see the boards. We've got You're Beautiful from Brian, Bad Day from Kelly, Goodbye from Scotty, Nick Abstained. That's Kelly cool. takes it, so good, you had a bad day.
I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Well, that's a different song, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's called Bad Day, too.
Is okay.
That's a bad day again.
Had more than one hit, though.
I'm sure. Yeah, well, there you go. That's true. Yeah, this was, I mean, iconic, slow motion, all the good
Who
stuff on American
Idol. Yeah, You're Beautiful.
Adam Blunt. Adam. James Blunt.
James Blunt. Oh, that is right.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
That
yeah,
is.
Right. I didn't really know.
Sounds like a bonus point to me.
That's funny.
Well, the song became so tied to the reality show Heartbreak that it basically turned into a musical escort off the premises. Thanks for coming. Please collect your shattered dreams at the exit. All right, moving into question number 10. I don't know. I want to make this worth something. You get a free. No, I don't want to give that to you. Never mind. Number 10 for bragging rights. 2015 is the year. Watch me whip. Watch me nay.
Oh, you want the artist?
It was a dance inspiration. It hit viral hit and gave every school gym wedding reception and youth sports banquet a way to lose their dignity. I want to know the artist. Watch Me is the official name of the song, parenthetically, Whip Nene.
Okay. Got it.
You got it, huh?
I think. Yeah.
Very good. Nick. Me and you, buddy.
Dude.
I know.
This is tough for me.
2015. That is, we are well into our phase three adulting, and contemporary music is starting to be left behind by this time.
My kids were a little bit older.
Yeah, right. Man, I got a cute video of my younger son doing this at like 6 years old. No, not even 2015. He'd be five, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Watch me whip Nene. Turned dance instructions into a viral hit and gave every school gym, wedding reception, and youth sports banquet a new way to lose their dignity. Nick is abstaining. Smith from Scotty. Willow from Kelly. Soldier Boy from Brian.
It's not Soldier Boy.
No. Silento.
Okay.
Not a chance.
Anybody ever heard of this guy?
Nope.
Or gal? I
not
guess.
Even close.
No. Silento.
There are as many times I've heard that song, I think I should have.
Right.
I don't even recognize the artist.
Me neither. That's what I'm saying.
I've never heard that name. I was going to put like a little something. Just little anything.
Anything, right?
Little whip.
Something.
Little whip.
That's little nene.
Little nene.
Little nene.
That's funny.
Oh, well, this song was definitely built for the internet age. Simple moves, instant recognition, and a dance-on campaign helped fuel the song's explosion with creator videos. Reportedly pulling in more than 250 million views.
Wow.
It was a sensation. No doubt about that.
Silento? What was the name again?
S-I-L-E-N-T. So silent with a O with a little like umlaut or whatever you call
really
that. Little
tacos.
Tilde or not a tilde.
It's really good. Yeah.
No, it's not the dots. It's the little accent. Hmm. I don't know.
Look, I have no idea.
Google it.
Sure.
No.
No.
Don't
want to.
No.
Well, that brings us through to question number 10. Where do we stand, Nicholas?
Well, I ended with 3, Brian with 4, Kelly with 6, and Doc, as we all predicted, ended with 8 and the W.
Yeah, very
congratulations,
good,
Doc. Scott.
Good job, Doc.
Good job, Doctor.
Good job. Lose game for you. Right.
Good job,
well, not a lose
Scott.
Lose, I guess, but if you don't perform,
Scott.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, as we get a little more modern, it's tougher.
Start to lose. So I very specifically chose 3 from the 70s and 1
to
from the
80s. Make sure he wins or what?
No, the 80s is his wheelhouse.
And then by the time we got to there were 6 from 90s and on, actually.
Yeah.
So that was done very intentionally.
Also, like the other genres that he doesn't particularly listen to or is one of, or his favorites. He's a DJ for a while, so he has
a great point.
A lot of reference to other songs that he's not familiar to or doesn't listen to a lot.
And would be requested songs by title and artist, so that helps tremendously.
And Watch Me Whip.
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell?
It rings a bell, only because of from DJing.
Sure.
But yeah, I would never have
never
downloaded that
Scott's
song on my own.
No. I do not want to play this, but I will.
I like I've been in the booth while he's DJing, and I love when someone comes up and says something, and he's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
He turns to me. He's like, I'm not playing that.
My name's DJ Requests. I take no requests.
Nobody tells DJ Requests.
But no, it's funny though, like, because I've been up there, like, and it's like the party's going. People are dancing.
Oh,
they like want some slow, you know, it's like that's
they request the slower
vibe. Yeah, it's like, I get it. Like, you got to keep the vibe. Yeah, where it's at.
It depends on what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
you think DJing would be simple, but so many people just don't get, like,
Yep.
12:30 at night, I'm not playing this slow song.
Right.
When everybody's out there dancing the
fast
songs.
Totally kill the vibe, right?
Right.
So aside from the obvious there, I mean, when they come up and request a song that you're just like, no, I'm not doing that. Do you tell them? Or you're like, yeah, we'll see if we can work it in.
No, he's like,
I'll see if I have it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'll add it to the list.
And if I don't know it, which is becoming, you know, increasingly more common, I'll play it on my phone and hold it up to my ear to see, okay, is this, you know, because I've been burned where I've played a song I'd never heard before, and it is slow or terrible.
Like, yeah, I love Silento.
Silento, I know. And Kelly, we know that you, of course, DJed at a assisted living facility. Our old folks.
Best afternoon of my life.
I would give a large sum of money to go back and just observe that scene.
Yes,
it's 5 o'clock. Time to wrap it up.
Yeah,
that's right. We got nightcaps for everyone.
It was such a variance of requests that, you know, some older people, like older, I'm like 80s, 90s, are like, Like I might play a Cher song. And they're like, "What is this?"
New Age.
I'm like, it was unbelievable.
That's awesome.
The Glenn Miller band, found out about that guy.
Glenn Miller, Conway Twitty.
way off.
That's how your parents were conceived.
Yeah.
That's why your grandparents have plastic couches.
Oh right. Oh geez. All right. Any final thoughts or questions? Nope. We'll wrap it up. Congratulations, Doc. Thank you, Pro-Am, for your help tonight. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe. Check out our show notes. We've got all kinds of cool ways for you to connect with us. And leave us a review or drop us an email if you don't mind. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.